Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And we move forward as we have joining us this segment. We get Mayor Bill Carpenter, who does a regular segment on Monday Night Talk every 3, 4, 5 weeks. We have the mayor on. But oddly enough, usually when I'm booking the show a week ahead of time or, you know, a couple of days ahead of time, usually folks will drop me a line and say, hey, do you have any room on the program? Well, I had that happen this particular time. And what's unusual, normally I'm like, well, let's try to plan you for a couple of future shows and have you on. It's funny is because in studio at the moment joining us to be a part of the at least the front end of the mayor's segment is Plymouth County Sheriff Joe McDonald. As I had Karen Berry give me a little bit of a call and say, hey, you know, that we get this fantastic thing that's coming up this Thursday, March 26th. It's the Plymouth Public Listening session for the Opioid Addiction Working Group. And both of these individuals, Mayor Bill Carpenter and Sheriff Joe, are on this panel. So, gentlemen, welcome to welcome back to Monday Night Talk. This isn't your first time here.
No, great to be back on Monday night. And Sheriff, great to be on the airwaves with you.
And back at you, Mayor. I really appreciate you know, everything you've done over in Brockton. And I can't tell you how glad I was at that first meeting of the working group there to see you walk through the door.
Yeah, well, I think we're two of the more level-headed thinkers on the group. So it's a great assemblage of talent and people with a lot more initials after their name than I have. But Sheriff, I've got to tell you, you know, I think how important it's been to have you on there representing all the sheriffs across the state, because I mean, certainly the impact of this opiate crisis on the corrections system, and not just the issues it may present for you running the House of Correction, but I think it just really points to how we've got to do a better job of connecting services, you know, with offenders who are getting ready to re-enter, because obviously, you know, a lot of the folks that you have down there are going to return to communities like Brockton, and if we can't do a better job of addressing some of the issues that got them there in the first place, you know, we're just not going to get them out of this cycle. So I think you've really brought a great perspective to the group and a lot of interesting information, and it's an honor for me to work alongside with you there.
If I could get both of you to kind of give some insight into your purpose and the purpose of this opioid addiction working group. Again, we've got, if folks can't make the Plymouth listening session, I believe that the sheriff was kind enough to let me know that there is going to be a working group that's going to be taking, you guys are going to be meeting on Thursday, April 2nd, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But we'll go with you, Mayor, first. Talk to me about, you know, your presence on the listening panel and the purpose of this group.
Well, first of all, I was thrilled and honored when the governor asked me to serve, and particularly as Joe is the only sheriff representing the sheriffs on the panel. I'm the only mayor representing the mayors on the panel, and there's not one mayor in this Commonwealth that does not believe that this opiate addiction has reached a public health emergency level. So I do feel as though I have a role there to serve as a voice for the mayors, and I like to think I've always been a voice for the families. So I'm just thrilled to have whatever my role there turns out to be. But Kevin, you mentioned it, and I'm going to give the sheriff a chance to talk about it because he's the host down there. But with the work of this group working for the governor, we have four public hearings in the four different geographical regions of the state. And coming up this Thursday afternoon is the only hearing in southeastern Massachusetts at Plymouth Memorial Hall. And this is an opportunity for anyone from the community that has been impacted by this crisis in any fashion, whether as a person in recovery themselves, a person in treatment, a family member, a health care provider, a doctor, an organization, you name it, we're there on Thursday not to talk but to listen. And as we attended the listening group in Worcester a couple weeks ago, it was not just an informative experience, but it was a moving experience of people with their firsthand stories from all sides of this problem. So I'm encouraging anyone in Plymouth County, anyone in southeastern Massachusetts that has been impacted by this crisis in any way, to please come down to Memorial Hall Thursday the 26th and share your thoughts and your ideas with us.
And I got to ask, Sheriff, I mean, what's your understanding? What is the charge of this particular group? What are you guys doing on this listening tour? What are you doing with the data that you're gathering?
Well, we're doing two types of meetings, Kevin. We have the meetings of the task force group where we're taking a lot of testimony, same as you would see, before a congressional or a legislative committee. And we're trying to digest all that from a lot of subject matter experts. And then the other thing, as the mayor points out, we're doing a listening tour as well. As the mayor pointed out, we were in the city of Worcester. Most recently, we were in the town of Greenfield out in far western Mass. We've got one coming up in Plymouth and one in Boston. And although all of the meetings are open to the public completely, the ones where people will get to testify are these listening tours. And this is what makes it, I think, very, very important, because not just listening to the subject matter experts, I think getting the perspective of the people who are living this in the trenches right now is just as important.
I have to ask, so what I'm sure you both had a chance to speak with the governor. What is he hoping to do with this information that is gathered, that you guys are able to get from not only having from the tours, but also holding the public hearings? Mayor?
Well, Sheriff, I've got to tell you, the thing that I'm optimistic, although I may not always agree with everyone on the panel at all times. I think that just means they did a good job of assembling a very diverse panel. But the thing that I'm most excited about is that for the first time, we have a governor and we have an attorney general that are both recognizing this as, one of the number one issues facing the residents of the Commonwealth, and they're pledging to commit time, commit resources, do what they can to address it from the government standpoint. And what I'm really excited about, first of all, it's the first time we've really ever had a governor and attorney general speaking this directly and this frankly about the problem, but the fact that they've pledged to work together, and that, this is not a D or an R issue. This is a family issue. It's a community issue. It impacts everyone. It's nonpartisan. And the fact that the Democratic Attorney General is serving on the Republican Governor's Working Group, I just think tells me that finally the time has changed, and we're ready to openly recognize this issue and take it on, like we have so many others. So that's the part that I'm just so optimistic about. And I don't believe we're going to change the world overnight, but I do think that this is really kind of a watershed moment in the state that we've gotten to this point now. In terms of what I think the governor's asking us to do, the governor's a pretty pragmatic guy. He's asking us for some recommendations that he can implement that will make a difference. And I don't think he's looking for a study to collect dust on the shelf. I feel as though he's asking us for action items. He's asked us to report back to him before the end of May, and I think that he's looking for recommendations in a number of areas that if implemented by the state, will make a difference.
Sheriff?
Mayor, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Having worked with Charlie Baker on the campaign trail, this was an issue of his during that campaign. Being at his inaugural address when he mentioned this from the podium, he really has made this a priority, and I think it's very important. And the thing that I want to highlight that you said so well was that for the first time, you can see that these high-level state officials are working together regardless of political party. So I see those clouds parting and that sunshine coming down. We've been charged, as the mayor has said, to come up with some action items here, and I think that's the real purpose of this. And I'm just so glad that they've included the mayor and myself as elected officials, and really value the things that we do. Like, what would the sheriff have to do with this, you would think? But, we've got a lot of things on the law enforcement side, and so many folks that end up in our correctional facilities as a result of use of drugs. And we're really a great opportunity down there to break that cycle. I'm looking forward to working with Mayor Carpenter going forward on a lot of these reentry issues. And Mayor, I got to say that you also are a breath of fresh air working regardless of political party with myself and with the governor's task force and everybody else. I think we're going to make some very positive changes here.
I really feel that way too, I think that we've got some different viewpoints. I think Judge Minahan is serving on this panel, and she's a person that I greatly admire and think that she really brings a lot to the table. And former Senator Steve Tolman is also on the panel. And, you know, when Steve Tolman was a state senator, he was one of the key people in supporting our movement to get a recovery high school into Plymouth County here in Brockton. And I don't think without Senator Tolman's support at that time that the school would have ever become a reality. So I think we've got a lot of really good folks who come at this thing from a number of different angles who are all ready to sit down and work. And we've got a lot of doctors and treatment people and, philosophers and everyone else. But I do think we've got some folks like the sheriff and the judge and Senator Tolman who really understand this thing from being on the front lines and working with and representing so many families that have been impacted. And I believe we're going to make a difference, but I also believe we need folks to come out on Thursday at Memorial Hall and tell their story, whether it's an idea, a suggestion, something that they believe we should be doing that we're not doing. I don't think there's anyone on this working group that's not open-minded and listening carefully to everything that's being said. And I think it's also important for people to talk about how this crisis may have impacted them in some way. I've already, from that first listening group in Worcester that I did attend, I missed Greenfield, but I was in Worcester, and I will be in Plymouth this week. It caused me to think, I mean, I've spent 10 years of my life around this issue, and I still felt as though I heard a few things that really gave me pause to stop and think. I think we really need, one issue that came up in that listening group is we need to start talking more about the impact of this crisis on children. You know, not just children that become addicted to drugs, but the children of adults that are addicted to drugs. And everything from, you know, how many babies are being born drug dependent,
oh, yeah,
to children who are growing up without a responsible parent or without a parent who's taking responsibility because of their struggles with addiction, and how many children are being placed in the foster care system, how many children are being raised by grandparents. And I fall in that group. I'm raising a grandchild, and I love every minute of it, but it's not something I ever thought I would sign up to do, and I don't think it's perfect. So, you know, I that's just one example, the type of thing that come out of this listening group, that I'm really thinking a lot more about the impact that this is having on children, not just directly, but indirectly.
I have to jump in there real quick, Mayor, because I was going to add my, you know, next question to both of you is we are fortunate enough to, with the, you two gentlemen, you both have, you know, experience not only law enforcement in the school systems, you know, and also somebody who, you know, presides over a city of 100,000 folks. I mean, how is this issue affecting your community? How is it affecting law enforcement, Sheriff? How is it affecting it now, and how is that something that you're making sure that the folks on the listening panel and that the governor is going to understand when the time comes? Mayor?
Well, Sheriff, I can jump in quick. Let me just make this real personal from my standpoint as a mayor. Last Friday evening, I went to a wake for a 29-year-old woman from the city that died of an overdose. And over a span of 2.5 weeks, that was the fourth wake of an overdose victim I'd been to in a 2.5-week period. Mm. It doesn't get any more personal for me than that, to spending time with the families that are enduring this pain and seeing some really beautiful, promising young adults whose lives have been just lost because of this crisis. So that's what motivates me. I know we have to do a better job, and this is where I guess my perspective is a little bit different. I think there are some medical people that think that, you know, the answer to this is put everyone on methadone and Suboxone, and I certainly support medically assisted recovery, but I don't think it should be the first option. And my personal view is the best way to prevent people in their 20s and 30s and 40s from dying of overdoses is to help prevent them from ever experimenting with drugs as a child in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if they do, I know we've got to do a much better job of early intervention, identifying kids while they're still teenagers before they get past the point of no return or the past a difficult return, and intervene earlier and have effective services for adolescents and support families, because I think we've got a much better chance to save a life with someone that's 16, 17, 18 years old than someone's in their 30s and 40s that's been struggling with addiction for 10, 15, 20 years.
Sheriff?
Mayor, you know, you are making every point that I'm thinking, so God bless you. You're so correct about this. There are no people in the Commonwealth that can say that they are not either directly or indirectly affected by this epidemic that's going on right now. And, you know, the better job we do with these innovative programs and treatments that are coming down the pike, I'm with you. I do see a definite bent in some of the medical community toward looking to get people on, you know, either methadone or Suboxone. And while those things might be helpful in some instances, I don't think that, you know, you want to declare victory at that point. What you want to do is get these people drug-free. And as you correctly point out, the best way to get drug-free is never to start in the first place. So things like the drug courts that, you know, we've got going on here in Plymouth County, many of these initiatives that we're taking in law enforcement are going to hopefully bear fruit down the road and save a lot of lives.
How does this alleviate, I mean, with this, what we're seeing with this this addiction, we're seeing more problems not only impacting the jails, but impacting what the mayor's, you know, the police department in Brockton is going to have to do.
Well, it affects everybody. So, I mean, the sheriff is our real public safety official on there, and we have someone from probation. Obviously, we have Judge Minahan and the AG's office is on there, too. One of the aspects of this that I wish we would talk about a little bit more is the law enforcement side from a couple perspectives. And I think that, you know, when Chief Hayden joined me when I came in as mayor a little over a year ago, you know, we agreed on a strategy, and we talked all the time about supply and demand. And we need to talk about the supply piece some too. You know, there's no bigger advocate for treatment services for people battling addiction than myself, and you know, we're going to fight hard to get more resources for treatment beds, and particularly from my standpoint, I want to fight for residential treatment programs for adolescents. However, we also have to be going after the drug dealers with every resource we've got on the law enforcement side. The supply is too plentiful and too cheap. Brockton's no different than any other city here in the Commonwealth, where a 16-year-old kid can buy a bag of heroin more easily than they can buy a six-pack of beer. And we've got to change that, too. And, you know, from my little world here in Brockton, we've added detectives to the narcotics unit. We've added detectives to the gang unit. I've added some additional overtime money for detectives, and I'm really proud of the work our police department's doing, working with the sheriff's department, with the Plymouth County DA, with state and federal law enforcement agencies. And just this week, we had a 72-hour period this week that we had four successful warrant drug raids and made arrests and confiscated drugs at every single one. So that's part of it, too. But, Sheriff, I'm interested in your thoughts, because when I speak to my patrol officers here in the city of Brockton, and I ask them what kind of an impact the drug addiction crisis is having on the community, and they tell me that they believe that at least 80% and probably more likely 90% of the property crime being committed in our city, the house break-ins, the thefts, the breaking into cars, shoplifting, robberies, that they're being committed by people who are stealing to support their drug or alcohol habit.
You know, I think that's insightful, Mayor, and I believe that to be true as well. People used to ask me years ago what I had for populations that were in the jail based upon drug offenses. And I used to think of that traditionally, like who's there for distributing drugs, possession of drugs, things like that. But when I really stop to think about it and see what got these people there, that criminal behavior, what fueled it? And absolutely, your officers are 100% correct. There are people out there committing property crimes, crimes of violence, any type of crime you can think of, either under the influence of drugs or attempting to get money to get drugs. So they're absolutely right, Mayor.
And they particularly highlight to me, Sheriff, the house break-ins, the car break-ins, the shoplifting. They tell me those crimes are being committed almost entirely by people that are stealing to support a drug habit. And, you know, with a lot of those folks, locking them up is not necessarily the answer. Getting them into treatment, let's attack the underlying cause. The underlying cause is the drug addiction. And if we don't get them into treatment instead of jail, or if they do end up in jail, if we don't hook them up with some sort of treatment plan before they come back out, we're just going to do what we're doing now, and that's rearresting the same people over and over, but never treating the underlying cause.
If I could just jump in here just for a moment, you are listening to Monday Night Talk, and Mayor Bill Carpenter from Brockton and Plymouth County Sheriff Joe McDonald are here. And we've kind of eaten up two-thirds of the conversation that we had planned for the mayor to talk about this very important issue. And I want to ask you, gentlemen, you know, there's been word over the past couple of weeks, and Sheriff, I actually chatted with you about this before we went on the air, and that is there is word that there is a group and that there is actually growing support from some of our lawmakers up on Beacon Hill that want to look to legalize marijuana. How does this hurt what you guys are trying to do? Is this a different situation, or is this something that it's going to hurt the situation even further?
Sheriff, you're the law enforcement guy, so I'll let you go first on this one.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I think that is a huge mistake. By legalizing things like marijuana, we send a message to the kids that it's not that bad. It's not something that can lead to other things. And I've spoken to many of the inmates within the jail that are in recovery programs inside the jail, and their opinions differ, you know, what got them on that road to drug addiction and crime. But one thing that I see is consistent with all of them.
Marijuana is a gateway drug?
They started, and I believe that to be true, but they started with marijuana. Some of them will tell you it's not a gateway drug, but they will not deny that's where they started. So I think legalizing marijuana, even what we've done so far, I think has been a huge mistake. And every time I see a crazy news report from the state of Colorado where somebody drives a car into the front of a pizzeria and no one flinches, I see what I wonder to myself. Oh, I wonder what caused that accident. But we're headed toward being Colorado and all those problems that they're experiencing there.
Mayor?
Yeah, I think my viewpoint is pretty close to the sheriff's. I would oppose legalization of marijuana. I don't think it helps. I do think it hurts. I support decriminalization of marijuana just because I think that our court systems and our police departments and all of those things that our resources are so stretched that they're better spent in other directions. But I got to tell you, I mean, I'm very worried about a medical marijuana facility opening up in our city. And I was very clear during the campaign that I had voted against that referendum question, or that I would, and that I did vote against the referendum question. Now, once it became the law, then that's different. And I have tried to work with the facility that was selected by the state. But, you know, isn't it a little ironic that the Department of Public Health that's in charge of helping us with all these addiction services and is kind of leading this working group for the governor is at the same time simultaneously putting a legal marijuana distribution ring into my city and going to legally sell marijuana to thousands of people? So I think there is a contradiction there. What I'm hoping, if I can, I always trying to look for an opportunity, and Sheriff, I don't know how you feel about this, but I would like to see the state put like a 5% excise tax on all the medical marijuana sales, with that money 100% allocated to funding treatment programs. We need resources for treatment programs. These guys are going to make millions of dollars selling weed on the streets of my city. They can put a little bit back to help folks that are struggling with addiction.
You know, given the fact that we have to play the ball from where it lies, I agree with you 100%. You know, I wish we could turn the clock back and ask people again, do you really think that this is a good idea?
Right.
If there are medical aspects, I don't want to see any legitimate medical treatment, a legitimate type of therapy taxed in any way. And the fact that we're sitting here talking about this kind of indicates to me that maybe this is not the most legitimate type of therapy that we're talking about. If there is something there, let's let the FDA study it and see if they can't concentrate whatever chemicals are beneficial in this and give us a safer, less addictive...
Well, Sheriff, you know, you bring up the point of... I support the proper medical use of marijuana. I mean, I remember this is not something new. When my mother was fighting cancer back in the late 70s and early 80s, they were giving her a prescription form of THC to help offset her chemotherapy symptoms that were really, really severe. And she was suffering, and that helped her offset some of the nausea, helped her get some of her appetite so she wouldn't starve to death. So I think there are a lot of proven medical benefits to marijuana when prescribed correctly and used correctly. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what I see in places like California and Colorado where, you know, it's obvious to me that the distribution is far exceeding what, you know, normal medical requirements would dictate. So you're right. I think we've got to find a way to split that hair and not block the legitimate use of it as something that can help people suffering or help them regain their appetite and regain their strength and all the other uses for it. But at the same time, you know, I'm not thrilled with the prospect of thousands of people coming in and out of Brockton with a card some doctor gave them for a couple $100 that says they can now legally buy weed. And it still needs reform, too, because I was shocked to see in these DPH rules they're allowing someone to buy, I forget what it is, it's something like 6 ounces every 30 days or 6 ounces every 60 days or something like that. My God, you couldn't smoke that much weed if your life depended on it. So, I mean, you know, let's see if we can, as you said, Sheriff, if we've got to play the ball from where it lies, let's see if we can at least improve the lie.
Gentlemen, we've almost eclipsed all the time that we had set aside for this. Anything?
Could we have the sheriff just remind everyone that, because the sheriff has been kind enough to host this event in Plymouth, and Sheriff, you can remind everyone the details, time, date, place, because I think we really want to hear from all aspects of the community as to how they're being impacted by this opiate addiction crisis.
He actually just kind of did what I was going to do after I let him say what he was saying. So go ahead, please pick up from
where the
mayor just kind of left it off.
Oh, thank you. And Mayor, you're too kind. You are as involved in this as I am, and I consider you a co-host of this, absolutely.
But well, thank you.
Yeah, you know, our listening session is going to be at Memorial Hall. It's 83 Court Street in Plymouth. Most people know where that is, but it's right on Court Street, which is the main drag, Route 3A there. And it's going to be on Thursday, March 26th.
This Thursday,
from 4 o'clock to 6 p.m. And everyone is welcome.
And now if
that's awesome. And also walking distance from the East Bay Grill for those that may want to hang around in Plymouth and spend a little money after.
Always talking with his stomach.
Yeah.
if folks aren't able to make it to this Thursday's, let's not forget that there is going to be one in Boston at the State House, the Gardner Auditorium, 24 Beacon Street. That's going to be from 3 to 5 p.m. That's the following Thursday, April 2nd, just to let folks know. Gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for coming on. And I know the intent wasn't to take up the entire segment to talk about this. But
Kevin, this is that important.
It's really important. You are correct. You are 100% correct. And so that's why I'm glad you're both here. And maybe next time we'll have to have another segment where you're both here. And then the mayor can take us to the East Bay Grill.
I'd love to do it. Sheriff, I'm looking forward to seeing you Thursday evening in Plymouth. And Kevin, it's great to be with you every month on Monday Night Talk.
You got it. We are going to step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.